Good morning, everyone. Glad to see you. Let's open with prayer. Lord, we thank you for another day, for every day is a gift from you. We thank you also for another opportunity to spend time in your word and reflect upon the amazing things that you show us in your word. Bless our discussion today. Bless our time here today that we may grow in our faith and appreciation of you and continue to find ourselves more in awe of your greatness, your faithfulness, and your love. Amen. All right, everyone. We are on page 7 of the handout. Genesis 17.
There's an edit.
So, in this Bible, there's a title, The Covenant of Circumcision. A lot more involved in that chapter than just that, though. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. I will confirm my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers. Abram fell face down and God said to him, As for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come. To be your God and the God of your descendants after you. The whole land of Canaan, where you are now an alien, I will give you as an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you, and I will be their God. Then God said to Abraham, As for you, you must keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you, for the generations to come. This is my covenant with you and your descendants after you, the covenant you are to keep. Every male among you shall be circumcised. You are to undergo circumcision, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and you. For the generations to come, every male among you who is 8 years old must be circumcised, including those born in your household or bought with money from a foreigner, those who are not your offspring. Whether born in your household or bought with your money, they must be circumcised. My covenant in your flesh is to be an everlasting covenant. Any uncircumcised male who has not been circumcised in the flesh will be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. God also said to Abraham, As for Sarai, your wife, you are no longer to call her Sarai. Her name will be Sarah. I will bless her and will surely give you a son by her. I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations. Kings of people will come from her. Abraham fell face down. He laughed and said to himself, Will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? And Abraham said to God, If only Ishmael might live under your blessing. And God said, Yes, but your wife Sarah will bear you a son, and you will call him Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard you. I will surely bless him. I will make him fruitful and will greatly increase his numbers. He will be the father of 12 rulers, and I will make him into a great nation. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah will bear to you by this time next year. When he had finished speaking with Abraham, God went up from him. On that day, Abraham took his son Ishmael and all those born in his household, or bought with his money, every male in his household, and circumcised them, as God told him. Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised, and his son Ishmael was 13. Abraham and his son Ishmael were both circumcised on that same day, and every male in Abraham's household, including those born in his household or bought from a foreigner, was circumcised with him. All right, longer chapter. Abram is 99 years old. So, how many years have passed since Ishmael was born? Do you remember how old he was then?
86.
Very good. So that's 13 years. How long has it been since Abram left Haran?
24 years.
24 years. Very good. Yeah. How old is Sarai?
90.
Well, if she gives birth at 90, she's probably 89. Okay, but yeah. What has still not happened for Abram and Sarai?
No heir.
No heir, no child. What has compounded this problem? Obviously, they weren't able to produce, but there's another issue now facing them. Ishmael's there, yes, but there's another significant issue that Abram and Sarai are facing.
Their age.
Now, yes, they lived longer than we do today. Still, Abram is 99 years old. Sarah is 89 years old. They are well past the age of being able to produce a child. How long has it apparently been since the Lord spoke to Abram in Genesis 15? Now, we don't know this, but based on what the Bible tells us about when God spoke to Abram and when he spoke to him again, the last time was when?
He told him he was
going to
have a child.
It was, yeah, yes, it was. Prior to Ishmael's birth. So at least
13 years.
Now again, God may have spoken to Abram in between them. We're not just not told that. But the two recorded times in the Bible of when God spoke to Abram, there was a 13-year delay or break or gap. Just considering that, how much time that was, don't you think that that would could potentially lead to some doubt? Just was I dreaming when I God spoke? What is that? Did that? I mean, what? Let's he. You know, he told me this, but then it's been just silence.
Well, he even laughs at him.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in a little bit. Yeah, yeah. So I mean, that there's a tremendous gap there, at least from what the Bible tells us. There's a tremendous gap. And meanwhile, Abram is getting older. Sarai is getting older. And so leads us to the next question. In all likelihood, based on what God had told them before and considering their current age, what was their point of view regarding their descendants? What were they almost certainly thinking? They weren't going to have any children, and yeah, and probably the logical conclusion is, well, I guess Ishmael is going to be our heir. I mean, what other conclusion could you draw unless they're absolutely clinging completely to God in faith, which Abraham has held up as an example of faith and trust, though we have seen times when he lacked in trust, as we've talked about him in his life. But 13, over a decade, over a tenth of Abram's life, he hasn't heard from God. And he's still waiting. And the clock is ticking, as they say. How in the world is this going to happen? Given the circumstances. So who appears to Abram? How does the Lord identify himself? Or how does Moses...
I am God Almighty.
I am God Almighty. Why might God describe himself in such a way for the first time in the Bible at this time? Any thoughts on that? I am...
Well, he wants them to know that they are for sure going to... That it's going to come to what he said. He's the one that's directing all this. He's going to... I don't know how to describe it, but he's the one that's going to make sure everything comes true.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The whole purpose... Or at least one of the purposes of God appearing to Abram at this time is to reassure him that God hasn't forgotten his promises, okay? But I think there's another reason that this is significant. I am God Almighty.
He wanted to make sure that he knew who he had covenanted.
Yes, absolutely. That's absolutely true. He wanted to know who he was talking to, or God wanted Abram to know. Keep in mind our whole conversation up to this point.
He can do anything.
He can do anything, even bring a child from a man and a woman who are past childbearing age.
So the Almighty is the part that's convincing him.
The Almighty is a significant statement here, and it's made deliberately. Now, I don't presume to know the mind of God, but it seems specifically to be stated so that Abram will understand, based on everything else that's going to be said, that God can do whatever needs to be done.
We already know Abram's having doubts. I mean,
you would think so, and I'm sure that he's just trying to cling to God's promise. But the reality of a situation, how is this going to happen? And I haven't heard. God's been silent for a long time now. How much longer am I going to live? All these different things. Yeah, it must have been difficult.
Well, God didn't tell him when he was going to.
No, he did not.
So you're waiting just like.
I know. Yeah. Yes. What is the Lord's purpose for appearing to Abram?
Well, just. To establish that covenant.
Yes, exactly. God wanted to reaffirm that covenant that he had made with Abram. Reassure Abram that God hadn't forgotten what he had promised him. Reassure him that everything God said was going to happen. Reassure him that the God Almighty is the God who can make whatever needs to happen, happen. And you do realize this, right? That we tend to think of things as what is possible and what is not possible, even in our own lives.
Are you allergic to something?
Cold.
No, just allergies.
Well, it could be the person on your left, or it could be the person on your right.
This is just every day.
I'm sorry.
He's got to eat Kansas.
We tend to think of things as what is physically possible and what is physically not possible in our even in our lives today, and especially in this scientific age, right, where we have everything explained to us or so many things explained to us. The reality is that God is not bound by scientific or physical laws. You understand that? This is tremendously comforting to us, because just because something seems to be physically or scientifically impossible does not mean God cannot bring it about. In fact, God does miracles all the time. Most of his miracles are within the boundaries of the physical, but he also does miracles beyond the boundaries of the physical, because God is not bound by the laws that he set in place. I'm fairly confident that if I asked you to look back in your life you would see a number of times where the impossible happened in your life. And you recognize that was God's working. So we don't go through life expecting God to always do the impossible, but we go through life knowing God can do the impossible if God sees fit to do the impossible. There's a difference between those two statements, right?
Let's have faith, too.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yep. Good. All right. So, a covenant is a solemn agreement. What does God re-promise to do for Abram? And follow-up question, are there any new revelations here? So we're basically just working our way through the chapter 17 as we go through. It's a long list, and we're going to break it up, everything out pretty specifically, okay? So if you just follow along, you'll find promise after promise after promise. It's really quite remarkable what God all says to Abram here. What's the first one?
Father of many nations.
Father of many nations. Yep. Next one, verse 6.
Fruitful.
I will make you very fruitful. Also verse 6.
Kings
will come from you. 7.
Everlasting covenant.
Yep. I will be you and your descendants God forever. Same thing that you said. I will, verse 8, I will give
the land of
Canaan to you and your descendants. Okay, let's stop there. So far, of these first five statements, what is new information?
Give the land.
He's actually promised that before. Yeah, okay. He's promised that before. There is a new revelation here. Which one is it?
The covenant?
No, this is just reaffirming what God had told him before. There is one new revelation here, though.
He changed his name.
That's coming up. Yep, we're going to talk about that. You're right. God's changing his name. It's in verse 6.
Fruitful.
Kings will come from you. Kings will come from you. That's not been mentioned before. God's told him he'll be the father of many nations. I'll make you very fruitful. I'll be with you and your descendants forever. I'll give you and your descendants Canaan. Those are a restatement of what God has said. But this is the first time we heard that Abram's been told kings are actually going to come from his line. All right, carrying on. Number 6. This, everything that follows, is basically new information. And there's a big, long list. Verses 15 and 16.
Sarah
will have a son. You could actually break that into two parts, right? Sarah will have a child, and it will be a son. That's new information. Before, God had been more general. I will make you, Abram, the father of many nations. You will have a child. From your own body, you'll have a child. Now, Sarah is brought into the equation. Sarah will have a child. It will be a son. That's number 6. Verse 16 also. She will be?
Mother of all nations.
Mother of nations. And also 16, the mother of?
Kings.
Verse 19, what's new there? What's stated there?
She'll bear a son.
Yes, but this is talking more about the son.
His name will be Isaac.
That's new information. His name is given. What does Isaac mean?
He who laughs.
Yeah, laughter. Think back to when, so God has just revealed Sarah is going to have a son. Okay, and how did Abram react?
He laughed.
He laughed. We'll talk more about that in a moment, okay? Do you happen to remember that when God reveals this again or talks about this again, and Sarah overheard it in the tent? Do you remember what she did?
She laughed.
She laughed too. Yeah, we'll talk about this some more in a moment. All right, we're at number 9. So God says your son's name is to be Isaac, which means laughter. Also, verse 19.
Establish a covenant with him.
Yep, the covenant I've established with you will be passed on to Isaac. And I will establish, verse 19, my covenant
with
his descendants too.
Yeah.
Wow. This is a lot of overwhelming things that God is sharing with Abram. And I mean, and it seems Abram was waiting a very long time to hear from God. And all of a sudden, you know, God unloads an avalanche of promises on Abram. Number 12. Abram has said, please remember Ishmael. What does God say in verse 20?
He'll be blessed.
I will bless him. Yeah. And it's interesting, if you're looking at the words in your Bible, God says, I have heard you, and I will bless him. Do you notice any significance in those words? I'll give you a hint. What does Ishmael's name mean? The Lord gave it, told Hagar what to name her son, Ishmael. And Ishmael's name, literally translated, means?
Donkey.
No, it means heard by the Lord.
Oh.
Isn't that interesting? So the first thing Lord says is just an aside. It's a play on words. Abraham said, oh, please, Lord, this is awesome what you're promising. This is fantastic. But please remember Ishmael. And God says to him, I have heard you. It's a repeat of his name. Just as I heard Hagar, I have heard you. Just as Ishmael's name means I have heard by the Lord, I have heard you, and I will bless him. Also, verse 20.
I will make him fruitful.
Fruitful and greatly increase his numbers. Yep. Verse 20, also, he will be the father of
12
rulers. And still in 20, he will be made into a great nation. Yeah. And verse 21.
Will be with Isaac.
Yes, that's true. But there's information here about Sarai.
It gives him a time frame.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. It's going to happen in a year. It's not another 13 years. It's going to happen in a year. Okay? That's a long list. We could have broken it out even more if we really, really got itemized them. What a long list. What an amazing list. What astounding promises God gives to Abram here. Any thoughts or comments on these?
The father of 12 nations or 12 rulers. So is that at that time or as the generations go down?
It's speaking about future generations. And in fact, in the Bible, Ishmael's genealogy is listed, and they're listed, his sons. Mm-hmm. You know, he had a number of wives, and so they all the different sons, and they all became their own clans or
Arabs, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Would that be considered the 12 tribes?
No.
Okay.
These are Arabian nations.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. But it's interesting. You see that number 12 appear with both Isaac, right? And Ishmael.
Yeah.
12 is a very biblical number, isn't it? Do you know offhand what it means? What it stands for? 12 disciples. We see it. Yeah. We see it a number of times in the Bible. It's completeness. Fulfillment. Yeah.
Well, so it says Ishmael is a great nation. That, I mean, first it says he's the father of 12 rulers. So if this is biblical, does that mean at the end? And he lists the great nation at the end. I mean, it's after the 12 nations. So does it mean, so he is the father of a great nation or a great people? Or is it that there's at the end, I'm getting a little philosophical here. So, or at the end of time, the last one is a great nation.
It's a great question, Ron. As I look at it, I think what God is doing here is he's saying in the near future, near being a couple hundred years, mm-hmm. there'll be 12 rulers over, you know, groups of people, your descendants. But ultimately, you put them all together, they make a great nation.
Basically like it is today.
Yes, correct. Correct.
They kind of stayed individual. They never coalesced.
Correct. The interesting thing is that they even fight among themselves, though.
Yeah. Look at America.
Yeah, well, that's true. It's true of all human nature, isn't it? People all around. Yeah, I know. That's absolutely true. Any other thoughts, comments, questions on all these promises from God? It's pretty remarkable.
Well, you had said you were going to talk about Abram's name being changed to Abraham.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Why did he do that? And the same with Sarai to Sarah. What? Can you give me thoughts on that, or is that something that's coming up?
It's coming up.
Okay.
We'll get to it today. We will get to it today.
Okay.
Unless you talk too much. Not you. All of you. That wasn't directed at you, Arlene.
You're telling me to shut up.
No! No, I don't want to skip around a lot. That's all.
Hopefully recover himself.
So my study Bible says the wild donkey thing keeps sticking with me. And it says that identifies like a wild donkey travels, and of course that's going to create, you know, as he goes to different places.
Yep.
Will open up, you know.
Yep.
Creating.
Yeah, tensions between neighbors and peoples that are there. You're absolutely right. Right, and I mean you have to think of the land where they live in too. I mean, in order to really survive, you had to move around, you had to be mobile, you had, you know, and so there, that happened especially early on in their history. They were moving all around, and yeah, I mean, even Abraham was doing a lot of that.
But if he's going to be fruitful, he's going to be fruitful all over the place.
Yeah, yeah, that's right, yep, and he clearly, the Bible tells us he had multiple wives, so yes, yep.
He died young. I know, I lived to be 500.
500, yeah.
He died
young.
Note the verb tense in Genesis 17, verse 5, and comment on his significance, if any.
Changed his name?
Yes, but we're looking at the verb tense. Present, past, future. What tense is it?
Present.
I
talking about that, for I have made you.
I have made you. Right.
So he's already done this.
Yes. It's a past tense. It's a completed, that's a completed thing. That's sort of a language thing. When you have the past tense spoken about future events, it indicates a done deal. It's accomplished. In God's mind, this is already done, even though it's something that will happen in the future.
just like he's letting him in on the gig.
Yes, yes. And we see this a lot in regard to Jesus. Prophecy.